Thank you for downloading the Elohim Christian Church podcast. Today's message is brought by Pastor Shane Budby.
And we started weeks and weeks ago with this scripture from the book of Proverbs 4:23, one of Solomon's great wise quotes. He was, you know, the wisdom of Solomon is just an amazing thing. You know, we call it the wisdom of Solomon, but really it's the wisdom of God, just delivered through Solomon. It's the wisdom of God, which the same wisdom that was bestowed upon Solomon is now available to you by the power of the Holy Spirit. How cool is that? I often forget that. I kind of see Solomon as some superhero kind of. He had this superpower of wisdom. And then God just reminded me and says, but that wisdom's available to you as well. I was like, oh, that's good. I too can operate in that same wisdom. And not only learning from what Solomon's recorded in the writings that he's put down, but also the stuff that God wants to release to me, to you personally as well. So wisdom's available constantly. We constantly should be living in the wisdom of God. But here's some of his wisdom. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Guard your heart because of it's basically guard it because it's very, very important. It's worth guarding. It's worth protecting. It's worth watching over, and it's worth tending to. And the heart is important, and we're saying today about peace being the guard of the heart and the mind. And some of you may remember from a few weeks ago when we were looking at the heart a little bit more deeply, and the fact that in the Hebrew translation there's no separation between the heart and the mind. The heart is all encompassing of the whole nature of the person. It refers to everything. In our modern day society, we would generally look at the heart as the center of emotion and the mind as the center of intellect, but coming at it from this angle, the two are just intrinsically linked. The two are connected, the heart and the mind. What happens in the heart affects the mind. What happens in the mind affects the heart, and so on. And we kind of end up with this whole picture of the heart and the mind being important, being something that we are supposed to watch over, we're supposed to guard, and we're supposed to protect. And, you know, we say that out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks, but then we also, what we think about affects the heart, but what goes on in the heart affects the mind. It's one of those God things, one of those kingdom things where you kind of, it's different, but it's the same. It's both, but it's not. It's kind of, you know what I mean? There's those things that you just like, God, I don't get this. It's different, but it's the same. It's separate, but it's one. It's kind of, it's these things that we just kind of, you don't need to think about too much. You just accept it by faith and say, okay, God, that's the way it is. I'm going to go with that. But the heart and the mind are important. But the heart is something to be guarded, as Solomon points out there. And I want to look at where we learned that peace is the guard of the heart and the mind. And it's in the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verse 7. This letter giving some instruction to the church of Philippi. There's some great stuff in that book about instruction of Christian living. You know, for all the books that are published in Christian world, you know, bookshops full of them. You know, the book of Philippians is just kind of, there's so much of it just nails it. It's like, this is the book of Christian living for me. So much of Philippians is like, I don't need to read anything else. It's like Philippians is nailing it. There's so much in there. And it says this, then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds everything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. So very much like anything else that we're given instruction-wise in the Bible, it's this will happen, but you've got to make sure you're doing this. We've got to ensure that we are living in Christ, that we are living the life that Christ has instructed us to live, that Christ has empowered us to live by the Holy Spirit. And as we live in Christ, as we live one with Christ, as we live that life which he has appointed for us to live, that peace of God comes and guards our hearts and minds. And I like that, because we're told to guard our hearts and minds because everything we do flows from it. But then God shows us how we set a guard upon it. And I'd much rather have the peace of God guarding my heart and mind than myself. Because to be honest, I can do a pretty terrible job, generally. If I try to do what God's really good at, then I'm already failing. You know, let God do what he does best, and that's be God. And let him do what he's already said he's going to do. If he says you live in Christ and the peace of God's going to guard your heart, then let him do that. But this inner peace, this peace that we hear about, it's something that is heard about so much these days. I just want to get some peace. I just need peace. I need peace about this. I need to get out of this situation so I can have some peace. And true inner peace seems to be at a real premium these days. I don't know if I'm just getting older, and it's just becoming more and more of something that I recognise, but it seems to be something that's at a premium these days, true inner peace. And so many people nowadays seem to possess it's generally subtle, but nonetheless a present kind of low-grade anxiety that's constantly there, a feeling of unsettled, lack of peace, anxiety, and then the knock-on effect of that is that fear's just lurking around the corner and not far behind, kind of coming to bring us down, trying to bring us down to that place of not just operating in low-level anxiety, but becoming fearful about a situation as well. And we're all open to that, and we're all in the firing line for that to be the case. But we're not. If that's you, you're not the only one. Just to strengthen you today, that, you know, the strength in numbers sometimes, and most people at some point will be recognizing that I'm just not right about this. Something's just not right. I don't have God's peace about it. There's nothing like having the peace of God. You just feel great. You feel like you're just like, you're nailing it. Oh, I've got such peace about this. When you don't have the peace of God, you know it. You really recognize it, don't you? You kind of thinking, I can't do this. There's something just not right about doing this. I kind of feel like I should go ahead, but something's not right. I just not got peace about it. And then eventually something unfolds and you kind of see, now I realize I didn't have the peace of God about it, because it was actually going to be a very unwise choice in the first place. But as we do that, as we recognize that, but there's so many of us that are in that place, so many people will experience that at some point and will feel that that inner peace is eluding them in some way, and that trying to claw to get it back. And we need that peace because it guards our hearts and minds amongst doing other things as well. I don't know, that lack of peace, perhaps it's the whole rapidly changing culture that we live in these days. You know, it's kind of like you're just grasping one thing and then it changes again. You just get in somewhere and it changes again. It's kind of like you just get to grips with your update on your iPhone or your Mac, and then the next one comes through and you're kind of like, just stop with updates. What was wrong with the last one? You know, my phone seems to work perfectly well and functions well, and all of a sudden I wake up and it's like, your phone is due this upgrade, would you? It's like, or update. It's like, oh man, I've just got used to this. And it's like, because I don't want any more changes. Stop. Just leave it as it is. It works perfectly well. It works for me anyway. Obviously, somebody somewhere doesn't think it's working very well, so it needs to change. But, you know, we live in a world where things are changing, and it seems to be changing quicker and quicker and quicker all the time. But in that situation, I just praise God that he never changes. He is a firm, strong foundation. And when everything else is changing around me, the foundation I'm standing on in Christ Jesus remains the same. So no matter what's going on around here, what's happening in here doesn't need to be rocked and moved around, because I don't have to be dictated to and affected by that change, because God is the one that is rooting me and is my foundation. So I don't need to become anxious about that. Perhaps it's the major shifts in our nation. We've seen some major shifts in the UK over the summertime. You know, we've seen new prime minister coming out of the EU. All these different things can start to cause people, and we saw it. So many people were anxious about what the result of the EU referendum was going to be. So many people were anxious about what the result was. So many people get worked up about this, and it was like consuming everything. And the media loves to tap into that anxiety as well and address all the bad things. You know, if it's good news, it's not news, is sometimes the case. You don't see many good news stories on the front page very often. It's like, why couldn't you publicise that on the front page? You know, what's the betting that, you know, there'll be some bad news that'll be publicised. It won't be the fact that all this good news that's going on in the Olympics and all these great things that are happening, that, you know, Michael Phelps getting his 23rd gold medal. But that should be front page news. To me, that's front page news. That's an amazing thing. That's good news. That's like, I don't know about anybody else, but I do love the Olympics. And I still can't register that in my head, how an individual person wins 23 gold medals in their career. It's like, that's insane. That's crazy. That is absolutely mental. But that's good news. That is amazing news. But we the media likes to really feed that low-grade anxiety and keep us in this place of being anxious and being fearful and not having peace about a situation. Or perhaps it's that, you know, there's a personal unrest, there's an insecurity, or there's problems that just leave you lacking in a peace. As little as it might, a problem might be, or as how low level it might be, there's still something there that's niggling away that's just causing it to be a lack of inner peace in our life. And for some people, they would say that, you know, there's no big deal in this lack of inner peace. It's not a big deal for me. I just move on, I run on, I keep going at Usain Bolt speed. I'm loving what I do, but eventually it just gets too much. Kind of like trying to motor on and motor on and motor on, but eventually it gets to the point of, something's just not right here. I'm still enjoying what I'm doing, but something's not sitting well. I'm enjoying what I'm doing, I'm feeling okay, but something's still not right. There's still inner peace not there. I still don't feel like that full guard, that full troop of the guard of the peace of God over my heart and mind is there. I feel like there's some gaps in that, and we don't want gaps in there. All it needs is a small gap for something to get through, and we don't want that. We don't want that. And then kind of like living in that place of hopefully in time this will pass. We don't do anything about it, but we just hope in time it will pass. And sometimes we're literally in a situation where we don't know what to do. So the only thing we have to cling on to is the hope that hopefully this is going to go at some point. When it starts to become a problem, when it doesn't, and you know, you kind of like live in this whole for the weekend mentality, or which is great if you go to church on a Sunday, you kind of. I have all these different like worldly terms of living for the weekend, which is usually a term of living for the weekend so you can go out. I usually like flip it on its head and just think, yeah, living for the weekend, it's a time we get together as a church and worship God. And but that living for the weekend mentality, or living for a holiday mentality almost, when do I get to escape from this scenario? When do I get to escape from this into something else just for a short time? Now, I've found myself that if there's a lack of inner peace there and I go away, the lack of inner peace just goes with me, because the problem rests with me. It doesn't matter what the problem is. It doesn't matter what it might be, whether it's inner peace or something else. If I go somewhere to try and escape it, it comes with me. Funny that, isn't it? It's funny how it decides to follow me. But I didn't book you on my holiday. You weren't in the holiday guide. I didn't even read about you on TripAdvisor, but you seem to be there. Lack of inner peace. Why are you here with me? Because I've taken that lack of inner peace with me to wherever I go. If I'm not dealing with that problem, it's going to stay. It doesn't matter whether I go to Mallorca, Legoland, Alton Towers, whatever. If I've got lack of inner peace, that's coming with me, and that's going to affect me even when I'm there. Yes, it's nice to get away and try to break away from the different normal setting, but if lack of inner peace is there, it comes with me. So it's almost like a false hope. I think when I get to that point, then this will be okay. When I get this done, it'll be okay. And we so often can fall into that once I've just got this done, then I'll be at peace. Then you get it done, it's like, no, that's not worked. Okay, maybe when I've got this done, then I'll be at peace. No. When this is sorted, then I'll be at peace. No. And I can easily fall into that trap of thinking, okay, drawing up a list of what could be causing this and looking at it from a worldly perspective as opposed to a God perspective, and not seeing it as a lack of God's peace, but just a lack of world peace. Not that kind of world peace, not Miss World peace, but you know what I mean? Like a world peace as the world gives. And like go through all this list and eventually think, I'm still not right. I still don't feel right. And that's because I'm seeking something different. But in whatever way we get there, any person for whom inner peace is constantly eluding them, eventually that becomes a significant problem. It does become a problem for any person that is waking day after day after day and seeing that the peace of God isn't there in their life. It becomes a major problem eventually. What starts out as something small builds up into something bigger because we don't nip it straight away. And these five stages, I thought, really just gave a five-stage plan of how that slow fade can gradually happen, that slow erosion of the lack of inner peace can start to come, and the picture of a common pattern and the progression away from peace. So stage one, mild inner unrest, But everything on the surface seems fine. On the surface, it seems fine. You're kind of like, yeah, I'm all right. Some things just niggling away, but I'm okay. I'm functioning. I'm all good. Something's just there. I'm not quite sure what, but it's there, but I move on. But then you get to stage two and energy begins to run low and work, ministry, however that looks, effectiveness becomes more difficult. So it's starting to niggle away and become more tired now. It's starting to become a bit more of a problem in that I'm just not as effective as I was, but I don't seem to be able to get going because this thing's there. Stage three, joy is consistently depleted. You're able to put on a face in public, but you're privately discouraged. So in front of everybody else, kind of like, yeah, I'm great, I'm doing good, everything's fine, but you know deep down and within yourself, it's like, ugh, no. And that makes you even more tired because it's almost like you're having to put an act on just to get through. And then you're just like shattered. You get home and you kind of, man, you just collapse into your chair or your bed and you're discouraged and disappointed and it's like, it's just peace is getting further and further away. Stage four, perspective goes askew. Your thinking becomes coloured in negative ways and it's just like everything that was positive starts to become negative and just seeing things in a way that isn't necessarily how it is, but your perspective shifted so much that it's changed and you just get to a place where that peace is no longer operating. And then stage five, resentment sits in, which often turns to anger, and the absence of peace is now dominant. And it starts to become debilitating at times. It becomes a debilitating theme throughout day-to-day life. And just that slow process, that it doesn't necessarily, it could take years, it could take days, it could take weeks. But that process, I thought, really just sums up how it kind of starts and then it gradually move away. But, you know, we can come straight back to that place of peace. Yeah. That's what I love about the things of God, that what can take a long time to move away from God doesn't need to take that long to come back. Sometimes there's a journey to get back to that place. And for each person, it's different and it's an individual situation. And that's why we should always view each other as individuals, because we might have gone through the same situation as somebody else, but dealt with it completely differently. Our journey back to peace might have been very different to another person's journey back to peace. What we were able to do in an instant, another person might need to just take a different road. They might need to have that journey and just need to be helped and nurtured and loved back to that place of God's inner peace operating in their life. Generally, the stage to get away from peace looks the same, but the journey back isn't. So what can you do about it? What can we do about it? How do we maintain the guard of our heart and mind peace? And how do we stay in that place? And first, we need to recognize that it's the peace that only God can bring. It's a peace that only God can bring. Colossians 1:20. And through him, Jesus, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. So he's made peace. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the King of Peace. He is peace. He's the one who's reconciled everything back to himself. And he's made peace with everything in heaven and on earth. That means you. So, yeah, you can make peace with God. He's made peace with you. And also that peace can rule in your life. Also, Philippians 4:7, again, then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds everything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. It's his peace, not somebody else's, or not peace that's found from something else. And to live close to Jesus is to live in peace. The closer we are to Jesus, the more we operate in peace, because he is the Prince of Peace. When we get around him, we start to just see that peace move in, like worshiping this morning, this evening. That place of being in worship with him, being in worship and coming before him, brings us to a place of peace. Hanging out with Jesus is good. You know, there's certain people that you just like hanging out with, isn't there? It's kind of like, I don't quite know why I like hanging out with that person, but I just feel good when I'm around them. I just enjoy being in their company. I enjoy what we talk about. And we're just kind of like, it's easy. There's no awkward silences. It's just kind of like, it's just good to be with this person. It's good. There's certain people, but when we're around Jesus, it's like, he's good company. I like to hang out with Jesus, whether that's in worship corporately, whether that's personally, because when I'm hanging out with Jesus, the Prince of Peace, I'm sitting in a place of peace, because it's a peace that he brings. And God's peace is a positive quality that only he can give, and it's different from the world's peace. And this supernatural peace which Jesus gives was his parting gift to his disciples. Before he ascended, his parting gift to his disciples, John 14:27, we leave this. I'm leaving you a gift. It's always nice, isn't it? I'm leaving you a gift. Peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. You know, he left a gift with his disciples. We are his disciples. If we're Jesus' followers, we're disciples. Amen. So that gift is now left with us as well. We're able to receive that gift from him. We take that gift from Jesus. And it's not the peace that the world gives. You know, we can try and find peace in certain situations and from certain people, but it's just not the same. The peace that God gives, and I don't really know how to explain it other than when you're living in the peace of God, or you experience the peace of God, you know it. When it's not there, you know as well. And that's the only way I could describe it, because it is a supernatural thing. It's not, I can't describe the peace of God. It's just the peace of God. That's how I describe the peace of God, is peace of God. And being in that place, but I'm so thankful that Jesus, amongst many other things, gave the gift of peace. And not just peace, but peace of mind and heart. Because the mind, the heart, needs to be guarded, because everything we do flows from it. They didn't just say it was not just peace, full stop, it's peace. Peace of heart and mind, of mind and heart, because we need to guard those things. And I love that. I love that Jesus left that, but it is recognizing that this is a peace that can only be found in him. We can only find that peace in God. I think when we find so many people that don't know Jesus, that have got a lack of peace, then it's no wonder, is it? Because we can find peace in worldly ways, but it doesn't match up. It doesn't last. It doesn't sustain. We need the peace of God. We need the peace of Jesus. And it's there as a gift that is left for you and for me. So don't be troubled or afraid. I like that. Don't be troubled or afraid. Mm-hmm. Jesus is telling them, don't be troubled or afraid. Yeah, amen. Don't be troubled or afraid, because if that peace in my heart and mind is there, I know I don't need to. If Jesus told me not to be troubled or afraid, then I know he's equipped me to not have to be troubled or afraid. He never asks us to do something without equipping us to do it first. Secondly, acknowledge your part in personal inner peace. There's always a part for us to play. You know, I think sometimes we would like it if we didn't have to. Like, why can't it all just be done for me? You know, a bit like going on holiday. It's kind of nice for that little bit of time when everything's done for you. Someone makes your bed. In fact, I always make my own bed anyway on holiday. I just cannot leave my room with it a mess. I don't know about anybody else, but Keith knows either. Yeah. Keith shared a premiering room with me before. He was amazed that I made my bed even when we were checking out. Like, I can't do it. I just can't leave the room a mess. Like, I know they're going to strip the bedding and take it off anyway, but... And I'm still going to make the bed. I need to leave the place tidy. Kind of like, you know, it's good custom. It's a Jewish custom. You fold up. It's a way of saying I'm going to return. I will definitely return to a premier inn at some point. So they might not have known that. But, yeah, I can't do that. But it's nice, isn't it, when someone comes and someone's doing all the cooking and the washing up and all that. But in life, that's just not the way it is. In faith, that's just not the way it is. There's a part for us to play with regards to inner peace. So one, regain an healthy perspective through wise counsel and prayer. Regain a healthy perspective through wise counsel and prayer. And this is a great place to start, really, because when we talk with someone that we trust and respect and we tell them what's going on, it's a great thing to do. Focus on regaining an accurate perspective through clear thinking. It's just great sometimes when things are all over the place to just sit down with somebody that you just kind of like talk about it, not in a negative way, but it kind of starts in a negative way, but good people that are gifted in this area are able to just put the right questions in and put the right things in and say the right thing that kind of pulls you away from that and helps you to regain a healthy perspective on something and think, actually, yeah, it's not as bad as I thought it was. I've kind of let this just become a bit of a problem, and really it's not the problem that I thought it was. I really have made a mountain out of a molehill with this situation, and I'm really thankful to the people that I'm able to do that with, where I can just sit down and talk about stuff and see it from a different perspective. And some people are very gifted with the questions and their ability to do that and just able you to bring it back. Sometimes you just need somebody to tell you to stop and get over it. You know, a few months ago, towards the back end of last summer, I'd got myself into a place where inner peace was really eluding me, and I wasn't settled in a peace. I wasn't in a peace there, and I was getting really worked up about this, that, and the other, and like, we've got to do this, and this is not happening, and this is not where I thought it would be, and this is blah, blah, all this stuff kind of like caving in, and I was spilling all this out at a leader's meeting, and Faye, bless her, she just said, Pastor Shane, just stop. You're thinking about this too much. You're overthinking. You're getting negative. You're not seeing it as it is. Things aren't that bad. And it was like, okay. It's like, and then we're able to look at some of the stuff like, what about this? What about that? What about, yeah, okay. I can see now it's a bit more. Yeah, I'm just getting worked up about stuff that responsibility can sometimes cause you to get into that place. But sometimes that's great when someone just says, just stop. It's not that. What about this? What about that? Oh, yeah, that's great. Thank you. I feel like I've got a healthy perspective, but that wise counsel is what we need. We need wise counsel around us, and we need people that are going to pray with us as well to do that. If you're like me, you might occasionally overthink things. So you kind of like, you just start thinking about something and then you overthink it too much. That kind of like laid in bed in the night, overthinking it too much. Like, I didn't get much sleep last night because I was thinking about this. I'm thankful to say that I don't tend to do that much these days. Generally, in my head, it's the pillow and I'm gone, which is great. But I remember for a long time in my life, I'd be awake for a long time just thinking about it. Could be anything. Might not be even something that's going to happen. Kind of like, oh, it'd be nice to see the bedroom kind of look like this. And then I'm going off down the whole route of thinking things through and overthinking things. But when we start to overthink things, it robs us of our peace, because then we start to become anxious about things and thinking, well, when am I going to get this done? When's that going to happen? Where's the money coming from to do that? How am I going to be able to do that? Who am I going to get to do that? And it robs us of that peace, because we all of a sudden move away from being peaceful about the situation into a place of anxious and questioning the situation. And when we see things more clearly, our heart is more at rest, which is why we need to get a healthy perspective. And other people are very good at helping us with that. And we need that help from other people. We need that help to do that. And again, each person's individual. So don't expect somebody to be able to regain perspective in the way that you do, but to be able to regain perspective in their own way. And how they do that is up to them. You can give direction and help, but always do it in a loving direction way. You know, Faye, when she addressed me in the leaders meeting, it was from a loving perspective, because she could see that I was getting worked up about something, which was causing me to become not very effective in what I was doing. So I needed someone to just say, just stop. And sometimes we need that, but sometimes people need a bit more of a, yeah, okay, let's just settle this. Let's settle down and let's just work through this. Each person's different, aren't we? Yeah. Do you ever notice that you kind of sometimes try to expect people to deal with a situation how you deal with it? Because that's all you know. Mm-hmm. They're not going to. Just to take that off of you, everybody's going to deal with it in a different way. Kind of like, you know, sometimes buy presents for somebody based on what you like, but you don't really know what to get the person. Mm-hmm. A bit like that, really. Like, well, I like this, so maybe they'll like it as well. You should like it, because I like it. Like, why don't you like it? What's the matter with you? You know? But no, it's everybody's different, and we have to recognise that. So when we're in that place of helping someone get a healthy perspective through that wise counsel, if you're the one someone's coming to for wise counsel, do it in a loving, healthy way as well. Number two, acknowledge God's nearness through prayer. Kind of alluded to this a little bit earlier about being in that place of peace when we're hanging out with Jesus. When we're in that place of prayer, it's amazing. When we're in that place of connecting with Jesus, the peace that comes with that is something that is just like, is priceless. We cannot get that anywhere else. And we don't have to be captive to anyone's desires or demands. And sometimes that anxiety comes as a result of that. And there's no one that you need to fear. We're not supposed to fear man. We're not supposed to fear anything. The fear of the Lord is something different. And I haven't got time to go into that today. But you don't need to please everyone. In fact, you can't please everyone. And sometimes we get so worked up trying to please everyone. We draw ourselves out of a place of prayer by getting so busy trying to please everyone. And it just doesn't happen. Because you please one group or one person, I can guarantee having pleased that person, you're going to have upset at least one other person. You know, it's kind of like, well, this is great. And everybody's like, no, it's not. It's like, oh, how do I keep everybody happy? I can't. The sooner I can, like, just accept the fact that when I'm in that place of peace with God, as long as I'm pleasing Him, everything flows from that anyway. But that's a difficult thing for any human to do. There are some people, very few people, that are just kind of like, well, whatever. But, you know, I don't know many of them. I don't know many of them that deep down, kind of like, there's a little bit of like, they do want to please people and do want to please everybody. I know for me personally, I'm kind of one of those people, want to keep everybody happy. But you kind of like, you realise, I can't do that. It's just not going to happen. God, what's going to make you happy? Because then I'm going to be all right and the peace is not going to leave me. But God, but in that prayer, you're able to get into that place of telling God that you deeply desire the peace that's escaping you. Like, I've got this going on, I'm trying to do this, I'm trying to do that. But in that prayer, you can say, God, I desire this peace. Please help me by the power of your Spirit to do something about that. Help me to work in such a way. Help me to activate the things that are within me that enable me to draw nearer to that peace, to stay in that place. And that peace just becomes a part. Anybody that sits with the Lord daily will know that when you're in that place with God, it's the most peaceful time that you have. Even whether it's in a group of people, whether it's on your own, it's still a peaceful time to be there. And that peace starts to build up on the inside. Quiet yourself before Him and rest in His presence. Three, tend to personal rest and play. I know I'd mentioned this on the original message about that whole thing of recreation and rest and play. But it's such an important thing with regards to keeping a place of peace. Because sometimes when we get so busy and worked up, we don't remove ourselves out of the situation. And sometimes to just take that rest and that break enables us to recalibrate our perspective. And a lot of the time, this whole inner peace that eludes us is because our perspective has shifted from a healthy perspective to an unhealthy perspective. And sometimes that rest is great to get it back. You know, what does your Sabbath look like? How do you help maintain or regain your peace through having that time of rest? For everybody, again, it's going to look totally different. You know, my Sabbaths don't look like they used to anymore. My rest days don't look how they did anymore. My rest days are quite busy. They're generally busy. It's not getting up at, you know, I used to have a nice routine before I had a family. You know, get up at 10:30 on a Saturday, just in time for Saturday kitchen, sausage sandwiches, and then a lazy day doing whatever the heck I wanted, really. But now it's, you know, it's more up at 6:30. Bacon sandwiches, not sausage sandwiches now. And usually taking the kids out on a, I don't know why we shifted, we just did. We just went from bacon to sausage for some reason. I don't know why. One of those shifts that comes. But then I'll be hanging out with Elijah. Eventually Joey will come with us as well. So boys club on a Saturday morning, doing whatever that looks like. Elijah, what do you want to do this morning? Usually going to charity shops and finding some good deals is the big thing at the moment. Did used to be going swimming, but then he got bored of that. So now it's kind of like, I'm happy to go charity shopping. You never know what we're going to find. But it's different. But for everybody, it's going to look different. But for me, it's great because I get this great day with my family. I get to shut off. I get to just recalibrate and get a focus and look. And sometimes it's great. I just love to sit back. And at the moment, one of my main things, I've got it as my picture on my screensaver at the phone, is when Joey and Elijah are sat together now. And that brings some perspective into life. When I see my kids just sat there playing together, I see Elijah being really helpful with Joey. It's kind of like the guard at the moment of now Joey's, I don't know how Joey's doing it, but one minute he's sat one place and the next minute he's moved. He's not crawling yet, but if there's something he shouldn't have, he seems to be able to get there. So Elijah's like a shot and gets there and he's able to grab it off of him. And It's funny, isn't it? Like the one thing that all the things in the room, the one thing Joe wants to get to is the Lego. I'm like, you can't have that. You're going to swallow it, and you know. But that brings perspective to me when I see them both sat there, and it's like, wow, yeah, things aren't so bad. Things are really good, actually. I've got two healthy children, and that whole thing, and that's all part of my rest day, having that opportunity to do that, and that brings a peace because it brings a healthy perspective. So, yeah, it's good. I get some good time with them, and it brings a perspective into life. How about you? What does your day off look like? You know, it might be actually doing stuff work related, as in something separate. It might be doing working in the garden or doing those kinds of things. I ended up cleaning the inside of the car yesterday. But, you know, these things need doing, but it's all part of what's, you know, whatever life looks like to you. But I think the main point is get that rest, because it helps bring a good perspective into life. It helps you to get a perspective on things that sometimes we miss out on. Number four, express genuine gratitude for all that you have. And living a life of thankfulness, a genuine gratitude is a huge gateway to peace. Mm-hmm. Just taking a look at what we have is a huge gateway to a peace of God. To live with thankfulness, giving thanks in everything. Living with thanksgiving is so strengthening. Living with thanksgiving towards God for what we have is powerful. It brings a power into our life. And when we live in such a way, even the things that are a problem seem to just dissipate because we're so overpowering them with giving thanks for what we have. And lack of gratitude, when we start to live with a lack of gratitude, robs us of our peace and our joy. And if we're robbed of peace and joy, then we're also robbed of our strength. So then we start to become weak and we become vulnerable, because the peace leads to joy, and joy of the Lord is your strength. And you might be carrying major burdens in life. You might be carrying really tough stuff, but it's nearly certain that there are many things which you can still be genuinely grateful for. Regardless of how difficult it is, you can still be grateful. Find them and give thanks for them. Live daily in a place of thankfulness and thanksgiving, because again, it's a great perspective changer. When you're thankful for what you do have, your perspective all of a sudden is shifted and changed to be something totally different. It's not negative anymore, it's not low anymore, but it becomes lifted up and high into a place of being strengthened by, man, yeah, I am really blessed. I don't have what that person has, but I've got some really cool things in my life. And sometimes we are robbed of those things when we start to look at what others have. And we desire that as opposed to giving thanks for what we do have. Whereas having gratitude leads us to a place of peace. And five, focus your thinking on that which is positive and productive. Again, we go to Philippians. It's amazing how powerful Philippians 4:8 truly is. When you reflect upon whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, or praiseworthy, it's amazing how your heart leans towards peace. Even as I read those things now, even as I'm reading them, it was the same when I preached this morning, as I'm preaching now. As I read that list of things, I start to lift. It puts a smile on my face, and I'm kind of, yeah, something's, the stature on the inside is lifting. The spirit on the inside is lifting, because as we focus on those things, I'm starting to move towards God. I'm starting to move towards peace, and I'm starting to move towards those things. And we can look at that, and this is not pie in the sky kind of power of positive thinking living. This is the word of God. And when we focus on those things, as we're told to focus on, it brings that positive perspective. Now, the thing is, the world would say power of positive thinking is, you know, it's all about power of positive thinking, which isn't really. You know, that's just another situation where somebody's taken a biblical concept and used it as a world method. When really, basically, when they say power of positive thinking, they're taking Philippians 4 and just trying to make it their own. When really, God had it first. There's nothing new under the sun, is there? God is the one who authored that one. But when we focus on those things, for example, when we're, you might be working on the biggest problem that you face in your life, and if you tackle it with this mindset, you're literally tapping into the power of God. Yeah. By doing that, you're tapping into his presence, you're tapping into the power, and therefore tapping into the peace of God. So regardless of what you are facing and what's coming against you, if you make that decision and that choice, and it is a decision and choice to focus on what is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, or praiseworthy, you face it with a completely different perspective, because you're coming at it with a place of strength. You're coming at it from a place of peace. You're coming at it from a place of joy. And those things cause us to become really, really built up. Which is why I like go back to the whole thing of the news always reporting negative things. It'd be interesting to see what the perspective of mankind would be like if every paper and every news channel for a whole week was only able to broadcast the news which was true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, or praiseworthy. Just imagine the effect that that would have on mankind. If that whole negative realm was sucked out and it was okay for this next week, you can only broadcast things that fall into this category. The mindset shift that would happen in people's lives would be immense. But you know, that's maybe never going to happen. So we can do it for ourselves. We can filter that stuff. You know, it's so easy to get drawn into negative news and eventually just go, like, I've got to turn it off. That's not in line with Philippians 4:8. That's causing me to focus on things that are not good. Yes, we need to look at the bad news as well. We need to be aware of what's going on, but not getting sucked in to that. I'm going to read the whole of Philippians 4:4-9. It kind of brings the scripture and also the beginning stuff together as well. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. And the God of peace will be with you. We have to put it into practice. It's a put into practice to live in that peace of God. It's essential to put God's word into practice. It's not enough to just simply know and study the scriptures. It's not enough to know about peace. It's not enough to study peace. We have to put what we learn into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. And if the God of peace is with you, then his peace is with you also. And if his peace is with you, then your heart and your mind are guarded, and it is a gift which you can receive. If you haven't already, you can receive that gift of peace from Jesus today. So God, yeah, Jesus, I receive that gift today. I take that gift of peace and I live in that peace. I'm going to focus on those things that come up in Philippians. I'm going to focus on those things and I'm going to maintain that peace in my life, that supernatural peace that isn't as the world gives, but it's a peace which comes from God, which enables me to live in such a way where I don't get sucked into a place of anxiety and I don't get sucked into a place of trouble, but I stay in a place of peace with God, because the trouble's going to come anyway. The situations are going to come anyway. All those things that come against us are going to happen anyway. But when they do, I'm staying in a place of peace. I'm staying in a place of inner peace, because I'm not giving up this gift which Jesus has given me. And I'm not going to move away from the one who is enabling me to live in that peace. The God of peace is with you. The God of peace is here. Not only in this place, but he is here living on the inside of you. And you can live in that peace every single day. And as you live in that peace, you guard your heart and your mind. So therefore, everything that you do that flows from that point is also informed by that peace of God. How amazing is that? The peacemakers, not only in your own life, but in other people's lives as well. Because that peace which you then take enables others to put the guards up over their heart and mind and live in such a way where they can focus on those positive things and live in a place where the heart and the mind is strong, but strong in God, not in the world's ways, and resting in the peace of God, not the peace of the world. Amen.
Amen.